Hey everyone, my name is Pastor Phil. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. And we are so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you're blessed by today's message.
So as I stated earlier, every February here at the River Church, we do a series on the family. We focus on what makes up a family, how to live as a family. Family's important. It's the fabric of the family, and what God has to say about family is really for all of us. And this year we're going to be focused on the foundations of the family as found in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we'll kind of plant. I'll be reading some other scriptures as well, but we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul has been talking in the whole book of Ephesians about the body of Christ, the church, and how it functions in his letter to the Ephesians. He's focusing deeper and deeper into the body. He starts with a wide view of the church and what relationships should look like as a wide view in the wider church. Then he focuses in on the family unit in chapters 5 and 6. And then later in chapter 6, he focuses in on the individual and how each one of us has to lock arms and be warriors with the Lord and put on the armor of God. So let's look at first at verses 18 to 21 of chapter 5. I want to read that together. It says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So right off the bat, we got to say what it says. This is what God is saying to us. We aren't to be drunk, period. We're not to be drunk. You know, whether or not you believe alcohol is right or wrong, that's just kind of a side note. We're not to be drunk. That's the reality of it, all right? We're not to allow anything to have control of us other than the Holy Spirit. And that's the foundation of everything we're about to talk about. Remember, Paul wrote this as a letter to the Ephesians, and sometimes we love to take verses out of the chapter and just kind of read them. We got to know that Paul's saying, look, you need to be filled with the Spirit. What I'm about to talk about, you've got to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to rely on the Holy Spirit and his working in your life. The foundation of the family is the Spirit of God. He is the only way we can function well as a family. When we're filled with the Spirit, he goes on, he says, we address one another in love. We sing because of how God has worked in our lives and our families, and we make melody in our hearts. Whistle while you work. I couldn't whistle this morning. I don't have enough water in my mouth. All right, but we give thanks to God because of Jesus and all he's accomplished for us and in us. And then he says something at the very end. He says, we submit to one another. See, the commentator said that like this, is Paul commands all believers to be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't refer to a deeper life or a higher life. I love this, but the Christian life. Sometimes we sit here and go, well, I'm just kind of living for the Lord. I don't have to be filled. No, the Christian is filled with the Spirit. We are, and we walk in the Spirit. What a great God to command exactly what we need. Paul desires for the entire congregation to be filled with the Spirit so that worship and mutual edification and service take place. While the Holy Spirit indwells believers forever because we're sealed, we need constant filling too. Why? Because no one lives a life of constant joy and thanksgiving and love. We need the Spirit. We can do nothing that Paul's going to talk about here without the foundation of the Holy Spirit. I can't say it enough or stress it enough. And so today we begin with where Paul does, with wives submitting to husbands. Fun topic, right? Giving last week, woohoo! Wives submitting to husbands this week, let's go! All right, 2 weeks in a row, right? But I want to say something from the start of this morning. Everybody, take a breath. Because sometimes when we can come to this chapter, some of us can really tighten up, right? Maybe some of you ladies have heard this preached in a very demeaning way. You've seen or even felt it applied in a way that wasn't even close to following God. And I'm going to call that out. That was against God. But in order for us to understand truth, who do we need? The Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit this morning. And my desire, as it is every Sunday, is to preach the entire counsel of God's word, including the hard parts. So we're not going to skip over it, and we're going to go over it this morning. So let's get started. Paul moves to submitting as a wife to a husband. What does this look like? Women really have a role of helping, receiving, and responding to her family in that context and in the broader context of the world. And in reality, it's lived out within the context of each woman's personality and individual strengths and weaknesses. It's not like it's a cookie-cutter thing for every single woman. It doesn't look the same for every single woman. And so Paul says in Ephesians 5, 22 to 24, let's look at it. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So let's talk about what submission is and what it isn't, because in our world, the word submission has a really bad rap. A really bad rap. It does not mean total obedience, subservience, slavery, oppression, any type of demeaning. It's not lesser. It's not doing only what you're told. It's not allowing or excusing abuse. I want to say that first and foremost. Well, I mean, loudly. It's not excusing abuse. It's been used to cover abuse a lot. That is not of God. I'm going to tell you that this morning. But now what it does mean is love in action. It means the giving up of rights sometimes. Supporting the other. Being a servant as Christ defined greatness. And don't miss the verse right before it in verse 21. That we're all, this is in a context of all of us submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Mutual submission in the world, working to love God and others. In fact, an interesting point here, in the Greek here in verse 22, Paul actually refers back to the previous statement, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then his next line is, wives, to your husbands. The word submit isn't even in there really in the Greek. It's just understood because of what Paul just said. So like I just said this, wives, to your husbands, which indicates that every single person he's now going to list, submitting is already part of the deal. He's adding qualifications to everybody else he talks about next. So it's just interesting to think about there, those other directives that are coming up. But Paul is specifically speaking of the family. I've heard submission in this passage defined as not in terms of specific behaviors, but as a disposition to yield to the husband's authority and an inclination to follow his leadership. Submission is not absolute at all. It's not an absolute. When any person in the family structure acts outside of what God has ordained, we face consequences that are not what God has for us. So it's not just a blind following, no matter what a husband would say. Paul says Christ is the head of the church, and then man submits to God, woman submits to man because of Jesus, and then children submit to parents as Jesus submitted to his parents. But if this structure is lived outside of God's design, i.e. a man not submitting to Christ by abusing his wife and kids, there are grave consequences and the blessing of God is gravely and deeply hindered. It has to be within God's context. And so I said earlier a few things that women are specifically geared to do in some way, and one of those things is helping. A woman is that being the helper of man, though, is not a subservient role. Otherwise, when we think about it, because in Genesis, the woman is women are called the helper, right? Eve was called Adam's helper, a help meet is what it's really called. But in John 14, 26, it's interesting. It's that Jesus is saying, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. See, if helping is a subservient role, then the Holy Spirit's subservient to us. That's not possible. It's not a subservient role. Being a helper is a beautiful thing. It's the act of coming alongside someone and helping them in any way that you can. But when it comes to this role within the context of God and his word, this is helping people see Jesus and the people in your family see Jesus. It's a context of a larger world. There's a reality, too, that women are more attuned to spiritual things than men are. Honestly, women are more attuned to a lot of things than men are. We're just kind of walking around the world going, duh. You know, I mean, that's the reality of it, all right? But I cannot tell you how many times that I've seen men become more attuned to God because of how their wife followed Christ. I've been in ministry almost 30 years. It was from an example and a help that the wife was to her husband. And he finally saw Jesus in her and how she lived her life, helping her family and those around her. And there's kind of an affirmation to this quality of an helper. Women generally seek to affirm other people. I see it so much in my girls, my daughters. They constantly affirm the people around them by how they talk and how they live. It's a nurturing quality that God has gifted women with specifically. I really believe that. Within the context of marriage, the helping of the wife is such an encouragement to the family. So many of us men, we're fixers. We just want to fix something, right? And I had to learn that. Early on in marriage, Jeannie would come to me and just frustrated. I'd be like, well, let's do this, this, and this. Let's fix it. She goes, I just want you to listen. Yeah, see, all you ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I went, oh. Okay, and I still haven't figured it out. I'd like to believe I'm getting better. You can ask her later if that's true or not. I still have my moments. But sometimes I need to listen, and that's actually the helping, right? Who does a kid typically go for with an owie? Mom. Why? Because she helps the whole person. Dad's going to slap a Band-Aid on and go back out there and play. Mom affirms well. Poor Sydney, last September, had her first concussion in a soccer tournament. Went and dove for a ball, got kicked right in the back of the head. And we didn't know she had a concussion, and she played the next 3 games after that. And of course, mom's like, oh my goodness, she's fine. Give her a nap. She can make it through the tournament. You know. And then Thursday, oh, she has a concussion. Right? But that's just the difference in looking at things, and our families need both. Our families need both. And so helping is so important. A woman also receives from others so much more than a man does. She receives people in situations and has the strength to give God's grace in the middle of those situations. She has the ability to discern what is going on with others. Ladies, you have ability to discern that us men really don't have. And I have had to learn over the years to really listen to my wife because she discerns things that I don't. I'm so glad that we can do marriage counseling together because sometimes I'm thinking, man, she's more the counselor than I am because God's Spirit just uses her too. But she sees things that I don't, but vice versa. It's just how it works. A woman is willing to receive the leadership and strength of her husband and receive the strength of others in general. She has the ability to respect and understand the differences between her and her husband, and you can see that as a good thing in God's word. And it comes out of a reverence for Jesus and how he set up the family. And then women respond so well, too. This goes back to kids and owies. Women respond to those who she loves. They really do. You really do. You respond in love and you respond in mercy. A woman is truly a partner with her husband in every sense of the word. She joins in the act of strength and shares in the process of leadership and shares in the process. Truly a helper from Genesis 2:18 that says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. I love the fact that God made men and women to fit together in every single possible way. That is a gift, guys. That is such a gift. So what does all this mean? What does it actually mean? First of all, I want to address a situation when a man does not fulfill his responsibility as a man. What does a woman do in marriage? Well, 1 Peter 3:1 to 6, Peter says it like this. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Really what Peter is saying here, if you're in this situation, live for Jesus. It's not easy, but live for Jesus. He speaks of this in verses 1 to 2. It means if you have had to lead spiritually when your husband doesn't, it means you live for Jesus. You're in his word. You still submit, as Peter defined it, with a longing to submit spiritually, but you do not submit to anything that is against God's word. That includes abuse. Spiritual, physical, emotional, or verbal. And I want to tell you ladies this morning, if any of you in your home feels unsafe, I want you to know you can reach out to us. We want to help. We want to help. Because I know in a group this size, maybe in our hearing online, you can hear something like this. Do not ever hear me say from this pulpit or hear God tell you that if you are being abused in a relationship, that you're just supposed to suck it up. That is not God's heart for you. It is not God's heart for you, all right? You are loved, and God loves you and cares for you. And if we could help, please reach. I know it's hard, but please reach out. We want to help if you're in that situation. My friends, I've spoken to so many wives over the years that desire that their husbands would lead spiritually or even lead at all. They want to help their husband, but they don't know where to begin. This is where you begin. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Pray for your husband. Pray for him. And I mean really fight the battle for him. Pray for your husband. Be Jesus' hands and feet to your family. Be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around you. Peter also speaks about not adorning the outside, but let God build you up in a spirit that reflects his. The submission that Peter speaks from Sarah to Abraham is one that's quiet, confident, resilient, but it's all about reliance upon God. She didn't act like this in every way. We could talk about the ways that Sarah didn't act that way back in the Old Testament, but perfection is not what Peter's talking about here. And this term, Lord, we can go, what, Lord? It's a term of respect and a desire to be the woman for Abraham that God intended her to be. I don't know if you remember Guardians of the Galaxy. I've really tried to get Jeannie to call me Star-Lord. I like that a lot. It doesn't go over very well in our house. But this call is to adorn yourself not just on the outside, but to adorn yourself with God. To adorn yourself with God and let him work in and through you and have all of your confidence in him no matter the situation. And this idea of respect takes us back to Ephesians chapter 5. I mean, we're going to talk about this next week, but notice that husbands are called to love their wives. Wives are called to respect their husbands. If we go down to verse 33, it says, let each one of you love his wife as himself and let the wife see that she respects her husband. There's a difference between love and respect. It's a circle that can break. Ladies, let me tell you, it's going to be a lot easier for you to love your husband than it will be to respect him. Because love comes natural for you. It does. We talked about that kind of thing, about how ladies are generally built. Again, not everybody fits into that mold specifically, but generally that's the case. And it's harder to respect him, especially when he doesn't deserve it. Now, again, this is not saying abuse is respectful. Don't hear that. That's in a totally different category. But let's be honest, us guys can often take the path of least resistance. And God says, still respect your husband. Because it's easy to talk bad about your husband to your friends and then go home and care for him because you do still love him. But you're talking bad about him everywhere else about what your husband doesn't do. It's really easy to go out with friends and have friends that are talking bad about their husbands and just join right in and talk bad about your husband. Because you love him, but do you respect him? Commentator said this. A wife may think, well, my husband doesn't work hard enough or do enough to earn my respect. Might such a wife be buying into the unbiblical lie that respect is based purely on performance? In the same way that a husband's selfless love for his wife is based upon God's charge to him, isn't a wife's selfless respect for her husband based on God's charge to her? So wives, see yourselves in a complementary, not competitive relationship with your husband. Yield to leadership and love, knowing that you are representing the church's relationship to Christ. If you disrespect your husband, you show the world that the church has no respect for Christ. If you don't pursue your husband, you show the world that Christ isn't worth following. If you sleep around on your husband, you show the world that Christ is not satisfying enough for his people. And so ladies, the call that Paul is giving us is to respect your husband as a call from Christ as you respect Jesus. How does this play out for a single woman? Well, you recognize the differences between men and women and celebrate them. Show the love of Jesus to everybody. Recognize and affirm the differences in men around you and help them see Jesus in you and don't put down their strengths and the men should seek to protect and provide in general. I think a really, really, really great example is If a guy opens the door for you, just say thank you. Don't say, I can do it. It's just, that's just ingrained in me, you know? If it's an affront to you, are we able to say, hey, thank you, rather than thinking that somebody is like telling you you can't do something? It might just be a kind gesture. And then I want to say to single ladies, support the marriages around you. Speak life into your friends that are married. Don't become part of that gossip circle of demeaning of husbands or boyfriends or whatever that looks like, right? If you need help, ask for help. I can't say that strongly enough. If you need help, ask for help. But don't disrespect because of things that aren't abuse. Speak life into the marriages around you. Bottom line this morning is that a woman of God helps her family by receiving God's grace and responding in the love of Jesus. A woman of God helps her family by receiving God's grace and responding in the love of Jesus. And the real reason this is such a struggle is found in Genesis 3:16. It says this, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. The battle over submission and headship came as part of the fall of man. It really did. Because God set this up from the beginning of time. And when we fell, when we sinned, it all fell apart. Because men now have a tendency to want to rule over women in a forceful and oppressive way that denigrates a woman's equal dignity with him. So many men want to put women down, and that is not of God. He will waffle back and forth, giving up the role that he has to love and lead, to leading harshly and then abusing that leadership. That's the tendency. And then women will have a tendency to oppose a man in his role, prone to desire the leadership and the role that God has given to a man. As a husband abdicates his role, a wife becomes distrusting in love and defying any leadership protection or provision from him. We see this in the fall itself, because the serpent went to Eve and he tempted her. She began to distrust what God had said and what was best for her, ceased to submit to God, and then presented this to Adam. She stopped helping him see God and affirm God in his leadership. And Adam abdicated his leadership in following God and protecting from evil. And disorder entered the world. Disorder entered the world in all relationships. God to us, men and women, and parents to kids. God called to Adam. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. That was the line. Disorder was all over the place. And can I tell you something? This isn't about a competition about who's better, because there isn't. Remember what we hear reading the New Testament. There is no man or woman in the kingdom of God, right? We're all equal in the eyes of God. It doesn't take away the roles that God has placed in his word, but it does say we're equal. This isn't about authority or equality or one being better than the other. Because there are roles that God has given men and women. The reality is that men are stronger than women in some ways, and women are stronger than men in some ways, and it goes with weaknesses. Here's the beautiful thing of God's plan. God intends for the weaknesses that are normally masculine, that they would call out and highlight women's strengths. And the weaknesses that women have that normally might be feminine, call out and highlight masculine strengths. I love the way this commentator put it. Neither gender is superior in the sight of God, because we're both made in the image of God. We both show who God is in differing ways. I love this. Picture the so-called weaknesses and strengths of man and woman listed in two columns. If you could give a numerical value to each one, the sum at the bottom of both columns is going to be the same. Whatever different minuses and pluses are on each side of masculinity and femininity, they're going to balance out. And when you take these two columns from each side and lay them, as it were, on top of each other, God intends them to be a perfect complement to each other, so that when life together is considered, and I don't just mean married life, this commentator says, the weaknesses of manhood are not weaknesses, and the weaknesses of woman are not weaknesses. They are the complements that call forth different strengths in each other. It's a beautiful thing when we see it God's way. That when we seek to live outside of God's design, our inherent weaknesses are amplified and their corresponding strengths are disregarded as somehow less than. See, when we want to do our own thing, we're like, well, I'm not, just because I don't do this well doesn't mean I'm less than. You're right. But oftentimes when we come to this subject, we are already wound up. We come to this and we're like, oh, I'm already mad before I even get here, whether it's men or women. Because next week when I talk about the guys are going to go, right? Every time we talk about it. That's why we need the Spirit. We can't come with our a priori understanding of our culture, of whatever it is. We have to let God's word say what it says. We can't come to it because we can make God's word say whatever we want it to say. We can tweak it. We can manipulate it. There's somebody else that does that, and we don't want to be like him. We've got to be careful. This is not about who's better or worse, and it's not about less than or more than. Man, when we live for God and we let God's Spirit lead us, our weaknesses are lessened and our strengths are amplified by both of us living together. I tell married couples all the time that a man and a woman living their life for Jesus, their marriage cannot fail. But it takes the man and the woman living for Jesus so that their marriage doesn't fail. Doesn't mean it's not going to be easy, or it will be easy, or it's not going to be hard. There's going to be times where you're going to mess up. But my goodness, God has given us a gift in the family. And ladies, I want to tell you, you are a gift. You are a gift. I'm so thankful for you. And not in a weird way. Like seriously, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, it's such a beautiful thing. Sometimes I look at my girls and my wife and I just go, man, the way they love people, I love to watch it. I wish I could figure out how to do it. But I'm not built that way. They are. They're built that way because of who they are, but also because of their femininity. That's just a gift that God has given to you ladies specifically. Again, there's a reason your kids come to you. They know they're going to get loved on. The dogs even go to Jeannie. I mean, come on, man. But they come to me when they want to play. They go to her when they want to snuggle. I'm like, come on. I like snuggling sometimes too. But I got to tell you, as a husband, there's no greater encouragement in my life than my wife. She helps me see a different perspective. She encourages me to lead when I'm not sure I can. When she tells me she's proud of me and that she chose me, I couldn't do what I do without that. I know how she prays for me. She always listens. And she always directs me back to God. Even when I don't want to. Yeah, as a pastor, even I don't want to sometimes. She receives God's grace and has been the biggest giver of God's grace to me in my life. And we don't always see eye to eye with every decision. But the times that we don't, I do everything I can to listen to her and hear her side. And she trusts me to know that, she trusts that I'm trying to follow Jesus with where we're headed. And I don't always get it right either. And in those moments, that's when she's God's grace to me. And we figure it out together. So I just have some questions this morning. Ladies, will you be a woman that will rise up and live for Jesus consistently? Because we desperately need that in the church. We need that in our families. Will you be a woman that will stand on Jesus in your home, constantly praying for your husband if you're married, or for a future husband if you're not, or your boyfriend or some guy friends in your life, that they would lead the way God has called them, not in a way that would be against God's word? We be a woman that will respect your husband out of the call of God. And we be a woman that will affirm those around you in ways that will build them up and help them see Jesus. Ladies, we need you in the body of Christ. We need you to be who God's made you to be. In your femininity and also in your individuality. Because he's gifted every single one of you in different ways. If we believe that God gives us gifts of the Spirit, right? We're going to have spiritual gifts. Everyone is gifted in a different way. We need you. Will you be the woman God's called you to be? Because I believe when that happens, man, it's going to be amazing what God does. And for some of you, you've already seen amazing things that God has done as you've lived for the Lord. It's not a call to perfection. It's a call to live for Jesus. Let's commit to do that this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the foundations of the family, and thank you for the ladies that hear this, and thank you for the men that have heard it too. God, I pray that we be encouraged to encourage our wives and the women around us to be women of God as well, and be the men of God that God has called, that you've called us to be. God, I know messages like this aren't always the easiest to hear, but God, I pray that your Spirit spoke today, that it wasn't about my opinion. God, if any of it was my opinion, I pray that would just get thrown out. It's got to be about your voice, God. So this morning, help us to hear you above all the noise of culture, of maybe some trauma we've experienced. Some of these ladies, if there's anybody here who's experienced trauma, God, I pray you would give them courage to ask for help, that they would know that they're not alone and that there's help and that there's hope. God, I pray that you'd raise up women of God that would live for you, and it would boldly be women of God. I thank you for your word, God. Help us to run after you. In Jesus' name we pray.